Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show where we are making this world a polite place to live one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from acts of kindness to handling pet peeves. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. Now here is your host, etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Okay, JP, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I am doing very well. Thank you so much for asking. We apologize for the little delay that we had just a moment ago. I want to say welcome to the show. Of course, you are no stranger to our show. But for those that who may be listening for the first time, if you would just kind of tell them a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. My name is JP Clay, and thank you first and foremost for allowing me to be on the show again. Last year and this year, talking about health care, the Affordable Care Act, and getting the understanding out there to those who don't know that there's options available for an advanced premium tax credit. And then from my, as a former corporate HR manager, I found that, you know, now in the benefits arena, have had a great opportunity just to assist people to understanding the opportunities before them and some areas of insurance, and just thankful to serve.
Wonderful. We're so glad to have you. And I've just gotten a note here that we did have some technical difficulties. In fact, I don't believe the audience heard the intro to the show. Did you hear the intro, JP, or no?
No, I did not. I did not.
Okay, we were having some technical difficulties. So I'm just going to pause again and say good evening, everyone. You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Thank you so much for spending part of your Sunday with us. Today is Sunday, January 11, 2015, and of course we are broadcasting, as usual, from the city of Atlanta, Georgia. And of course, we do want to always talk about, a lot of times people will just kind of pick up the show and not necessarily know what they're listening to, but etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior, and of course by using the rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. Of course, etiquette comes from a French word meaning ticket, and it came to actually mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior, and we always thank Charles I and II of England for copying these rules of etiquette from the French court, because what happened is these requirements became behavior everywhere, and again, I want to applaud them. I always want to applaud them, because that is part of the reason our show. Okay? But anyway, we're going to just move on through the show here. And I think I'm getting some type of feedback. I'm not sure what that is. It sounds like maybe wind, or you JP, are you in or out? Because I think I'm getting some, it sounds like it may be wind.
Okay. I was walking, but I am back stationary now in a quiet place.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Of course, if you all just joined us, we have a JP Clay with us. He is going to help us maneuver through this healthcare maze. And, of course, I actually have several. We've gotten so much of a response already, emails with questions for you, JP. But I know you just told us a little bit about yourself. And, of course, you're just going to kind of help us out. What I would like to do, if it's okay, it's just to start with the questions, because we really have gotten quite a few. In fact, we probably will just move straight through the show. I probably will not take any commercial breaks, just making sure that we indeed are able to answer all the questions. The first one comes from, it says, Dear Etiquette Lady and Mr. JP, I listened to the broadcast you did last year and found the information very helpful. In fact, my family and I enjoy all your shows. My question is, do you have to keep the insurance you obtained last year, or can you change? This comes from Mark Myers and Conyers. Thank you, Mark, for that email.
Oh, yes, excellent question, Mark, and thank you for asking. A lot of times I try to ask the same question in regards to just reevaluate your plan. Each year insurance changes, just like we change as individuals and our needs change. But I just challenge everyone to look at their plan, evaluate that against their current needs and assessments, and then from there, no, you do not have to stay with last year's plan. You can do active or passive enrollment. And, of course, we have a group of in-person people to help you. But the goal there would be to, in turn, evaluate the plans, look at your doctors, look at your medications, and look at your networks to make sure you have the best plan available for you. We have found that everything is worth evaluating. We know that once we pay attention to something, the only thing that can happen is that we're more informed, and our goal is always to inform you, give you information to make the best informed decision.
And, JP, I want to just get your opinion on what, for some of those listeners right now, they may be unsure of really where to begin or how to, you know, really move forward in trying to secure a plan. This could be their first year, even though, you know, we know that this went into effect last year. So just for those who may be listening, maybe wondering, okay, I'm not really sure, you know, what to do or where to go or who to get help from. If you can just kind of answer those questions, that would be great.
Absolutely. Thank you, Donna. I think coming into the start of 2014, you know, the Affordable Care Act went into effect, and the marketplace allowed us to have a benchmark of actual coverage that had 10 essentials. And in that 10 essentials, it gave a baseline to what is now insurance as we see it for an individual person. So if someone is interested in insurance, there's four ways to get it. From the marketplace, which is healthcare.gov. Number two is you can call in on the number. It's the 1-800 number that I can get for you, and also I'm sure will be available online. And just by Googling, it's 1-800-318-2416. That's kind of from memory, but I definitely like to verify that. And then also you can fax it in. And then the last piece is in-person assistance, which is where I and a team of people have been helping people maneuver through plans and also looking at what carriers best suits their needs.
Great. Thank you for that. Here is a question. It says, Dear Etiquette Lady and Guest, I hope you read my question. Can you explain the deadline for enrolling or re-enrolling? And this comes from MJ in Ohio. And then they say thank you for that.
Yes, MJ, thank you for allowing the listening audience that you have. And great question. If you currently was enrolled in a plan, after the first year they would do a passive re-enroll. So it would be a continuation of the same. So you don't have to do anything. But we really don't suggest that from the standpoint of letting things just ride. We would always ask that you in turn look at it as a new opportunity. Every time you go to the grocery store, using the marketplace as an example, you evaluate against the list on what your needs are. So in this particular case, your passive enrollment, you would re-enroll at the first of the year, but then the end and the closeout date is February the 15th. February 15th is the close of open enrollment, starting November the 15th and ending February 15th for this enrollment season.
And that's thing, is that earlier or does it just sound earlier this year that it's ending?
Actually, it's later this year. Last year we started in October 1st, but, you know, this is our second year in, they call it OE2, Open Enrollment 2, and what it's allowed is a window of time that the Medicaid ended in the first part of November, and then we started on the Open Enrollment as far as ACA on November the 15th.
Okay, so that is the deadline, February 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now when you mentioned, just kind of said, for the re-enrollment purposes, don't let things ride. Is that basically what you're saying is just do not pay your premium if you're not doing...
Oh, well, you have to pay the premium. Yeah, you have to pay the premium to have continuation of coverage. But more so my concern is sometimes we will, from a perspective of we've had insurance, it's always met my needs, you know, and that's that. Well, you know, this is a new day, and insurance is really only effective as we make it. So there's the 10 essentials is out there that are services that are related to free services from colonoscopy to breast exams. All of those are part of the 10 free essentials that are available. And it's actually more than 10 free essentials related to each plan. But our challenge to everyone is to at least evaluate the plan to verify that they're getting the best cost, because it was Affordable Care Act, so we want it to be the most affordable. And then secondly, double-check against your actual employer. If your current insurance exceeds 9.5%, then you are eligible to come back to the marketplace and get a plan.
Repeat that for those persons who may not have caught that.
Okay. So if you're in an employer, and let's say that you're a part-time worker, and they're offering you insurance, and their offer of insurance, if it exceeds 9.5% of your income, then you automatically qualify for the marketplace in those plans that are available. So, you know, if someone is looking to evaluate if my insurance is too high, then let's evaluate that from your cost of the insurance that you currently are paying or is available on your job. And if it exceeds 9.5% of your annual income, then you are allowed to come back to the marketplace and enroll in one of those plans. At Georgia, we're fortunate that the spirit of competition has allowed us to go from 5 carriers to 9. So we would have to evaluate that per state and per opportunity. And of course, that's one of the areas I think an in-person assistance person is the best means to help you navigate and figure out what's the best plan for you and your family. And also, Don, if I may say, in-person assistance is at no cost to the client. It's all a service that's provided.
Wow, great information. Because I know most people think that if their employer offers insurance, that they actually need to take that insurance. So now you're basically saying that there are some choices in the matter, which choices
Absolutely.
Are always good.
Yes,
wow,
yes.
Very good.
And, you know, and I would even suggest the challenge is if you have two working parties in the family, you know, the husband, wife, or two options, you know, evaluate those plans against one another, because one family's plan, as far as one spouse's plan at their job, may be better than the other. So I would just always suggest to just look at all of those options to verify that you're getting the best accountability for your dollar.
Great information. And in case you are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We have expert J.P. Clyte on with us, and he is talking about healthcare, how to secure health insurance. And, of course, you know, it's that time of year, again, our re-enrollment period. And he's answering the questions that you may have, whether or not you are securing insurance for the first time, or perhaps you're wanting to change insurance providers. The next email here, it says, Dear Etiquette Lady, thanks for keeping everyone informed on your show. I would like to know what the penalty is if you don't have insurance by the deadline. Thank you. This comes from Ralph in Alpharetta. Thank you, Ralph. So we hear about
good
the penalties.
Question. Yes.
Yeah, quite a bit. So, that, you know, what is it?
Well,
how do they determine?
Yes, and it's a shared responsibility cost is how it's actually being in terminology saying that it's a shared responsibility in regards to co-insurance. So in last year's open enrollment season, there was a $95 shared responsibility fee, but that is also misleading because it's $95 plus $47 per child or 1% of your income. So it's not just a flat fee. Coming to this new year, it'll be $325 per adult, $147 per child, and or 1% of your income, whichever is greater, to help, you know, that shared responsibility to inspire people to get insurance.
Wow. So, I mean, okay, with those penalties, to me, the penalties sound like there's a possibility of the penalties can be greater than the actual premium. Is that the case? I guess depending on, you know, the person that's, you know, being insured.
Well, I think that in the government's, you know, of course, I don't know the terminologies of why the shared responsibility is actually just a response to if we don't find you or we don't have some way of making you feel like it's your responsibility, then by far you won't do it on your own. And it is a law because, you know, next year it'll be $625 and that much more per child. But the thought process, too, there, you can avoid that by two things. One, there's an exemption that's available through going to healthcare.gov, or you can actually go on the marketplace and apply, and in turn, if you're denied, you would also qualify for that exemption. So there is a method to, in turn, see exactly where you stand, which is kind of that baseline or the benchmark of having healthcare.gov. Because healthcare.gov also allows us the opportunity to, let's say, you have transitioned out of a job and no longer are an employer that offers insurance. Well, 60 days thereafter, you can actually go to the marketplace no matter what time of the year, open enrollment or not open enrollment, and apply for coverage when that was something that was not available prior to 2014.
Okay, because I think, you know, after, depending on, I guess, the organization that you were coming from, there was only pretty much available was COBRA, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And actually, that allows you to get away from the, if anyone has been on COBRA and know how much that costs, you would run to the marketplace.
Interesting. Here's another email. Etiquette Lady, I would like to know why the premiums have skyrocketed. Last year, mine was $28 a month, and they are renewing it for $93. That's quite a jump. I am a self-employed and on a streamlined budget. Is this going to happen each year? Thanks for reading my question. It comes from Felicia in Florida. Thank you, Felicia. So the rising of the premium.
Well, and I hate to say this, like anything else, it's going to be adjusting. So I don't know the particulars of each year they're going to, they being the IRS and healthcare.gov, because this is based in the tax code, going to do an evaluation of plans, ratings, and cost. The baseline of the actual ACA does allow for 80% of what you pay into your plan will be used towards your care. And if it's not, then they will give you a refund. So even though the premiums may go up, still there's that 80-20 rule. Only 20% of what you pay goes to an actual overhead cost, which would take care of in-person assistance and or the insurance carrier in regards to the ACA. So that's one of the reasons why we would always suggest that if you was in a plan this year and it was $28, in the spirit of competition, evaluate that's the best plan for you for the new year, because we've had cases where people have went back in and took a look at their plans and said, you know, this new carrier on the market fits my needs just as much as last year's carrier, and they're cheaper. Or it could be more expensive. So, you know, let's always evaluate it so we can make the most informed decision.
Okay. Thank you for that. Here's one that says, Etiquette Lady, thank you for the great info you provide on your show each week. There were so many problems last year with the processing on the Obama website. have all the issues been resolved? Please direct that question to your guest. Thank you. Now, first of all, this is me talking. There was no such thing as an Obama website, right? You
just
might want to clarify
the Affordable Care Act, yes.
Okay,
yes,
all right.
And you know, and the president made this. It's kind of funny. He made a joke about that in regards to, you know, it was frozen in as a slang term or something derogatory. And he was like, but I do care. So if it will be something to propagate people knowing that I do care and an opportunity for them to get insurance, you know, healthcare.gov is a site. And even so in the question, I think that we just have to kind of keep in mind that we had, I think it was 55,000 hits in the 10-day period, and that was an extreme load on something that had not been tested. Since then, they have gotten into the testing mode and also streamlined the process in regards to being on healthcare.gov. So they kind of reduced it from, if I remember the numbers correctly, and I apologize up front, I want to say it was plus 100 screenshots to down to less than 20. So the process is really streamlined to allow you to get through the process of enrolling faster, as long as you know what you want. So I would always ask someone to go to healthcare.gov themselves, and even there's a plan and evaluate button, put in your information so you know what you're looking for, and then in turn go through the enrollment process either by, you know, going online and filling out an application or faxing or calling or in-person assistance.
Wow, okay, thank you. Dear Etiquette Lady and Mr. Clay, I live in the state of Colorado, and I would like to know if there's a national site to go on and how long is the process. Thank you. This comes from Calvin Jackson, of course, in Colorado. And I think you just gave that site, because that is a national website, correct?
It is, unless you have a state-driven. Yes, healthcare.gov is a national site, unless you're at a state that offers their own exchange, and if that be the case, then you go through that current state's exchange. But each one of them have to meet a minimum level of requirements. But that the national site is healthcare.gov if your state does not offer a state exchange.
Okay, all right. Okay,
and if you go to healthcare.gov, Donna, I think that was a great question. If you go to healthcare.gov and you put in your state, it will redirect you, so you don't have to recreate the wheel. You can always go to healthcare.gov, and it'll direct you accordingly.
Wonderful information, because we have listeners all in so many different states. So that's great to know. So here's one. It says, Etiquette Lady, I really enjoy your show, and thanks for covering this topic. I'm not very tech-savvy, so is there somewhere I can go in person for assistance in enrolling? This comes from Ms. Jones in Atlanta.
Oh, well, yes,
hands-on and face-to-face.
We are glad to offer an in-person assistance, walk you through the process of enrollment at the Martin Luther King Senior Resource Center down at the East Hope inside Ebenezer Baptist Church. We are there every day until open enrollment closes in February the 15th. So, you know, gladly, please come down and see us. I have a number, Donna, if you'd like for me to
certainly. Go ahead and give
forward
that.
Yes. At any time, you can always reach out for us at 888-840-4588, and that's just a answering service that will in turn take a message, and or you can text the same number or leave a message. But then you can also reach us on 1-888-406-7839, and that's option number 3, and that's for the Multicultural Healthcare Association, and option 3 will put you in contact with us, and we will gladly set up an appointment or see what we can do to assist you in whatever your needs are.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Jones, for sending that. I have a question. It says, Dear Etiquette Lady and Mr. Clay, my husband and I are both self-employed, and we have one teenage son. Last year, we looked at and it was over $560 to insure the three of us. This was totally out of our budget. Is there anywhere else we can go to obtain affordable coverage?
Well, Donna, that's a great question. But the parameters of the Affordable Care Act and the Advanced Premium Tax Credit is based on two things: household size and income. Now, the health care opportunity that's provided through healthcare.gov is a vehicle that anyone can use. So through healthcare.gov, and this is used for the state of Georgia, no matter how much money you make or how large or how small your family is, you can go to healthcare.gov, go to Georgia's site, you know, with Georgia in mind, and you have eight carriers you can choose from, but the cost per plan is only dictated by the number of people in your family and your income. So without knowing that information, it would be kind of hard to answer your question, but also would challenge too, because sometimes we want particular doctors and we want a particular hospital, and that can only be related to a particular carrier. And so just like we have different types of catch-up and one may be a preference over the other, the cost may be related to that also.
Okay, all right. And I have, thank you, JP, for such wonderful information. I believe I have another guest standing by, and that's really a good question because Pam, I believe we have Pam Steda, and she was actually looking at the situation with she and her family, and I know she wanted to share an alternate route. And let me see if I can pick her up. And, guys, we are going to – our show is going to end if you are streaming. We're going to go ahead and stay on, though. We're going to go over for a few minutes. But if you are listening to us live, we're going to lose you very, very soon, probably in about a minute and 54 seconds. We're going to stay on. However, you can feel free to go back and listen to the show as all of our shows are archived. JP, I'm going to see if I can pull Pam in and kind of get some feedback from her. Pam, are you there?
Hi, this is Pam. Hi. I'm here.
Hi, how are you, Pam?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great, I'm doing well. Thank you for joining us. I hope you were able to hear the great information that JP was providing for us. But I know you had wanted to talk about maybe some other options, and we did have the last question I just read was about if anybody knew of any other options in order to secure insurance. And if you could just kind of tell us a little bit about your story, whatever you wanted to share, that would be great as well.
Sure. I had the very same question. My position was abolished recently, and I had always had health care through my job. And so I was, of course, I had the option of having COBRA coverage, which was way out of my budget. And so I went online and looked at all the different available options through the Affordable Health Care Act. I have a husband and four children. Two of them are in college, and one is away in boarding school. So obviously I have a real need for health care coverage for my family. And basically what I saw was going to cost me about $1,300 a month with the Affordable Health Care Act, and that still was just way out of my budget. So I was talking with someone from my church, and they mentioned about Christian Medical Sharing Ministries. And so I went online and I found out that there were really three main medical sharing ministries. One was called MediShare, the other one's called Samaritan Ministries, and another one's called Christian Care Ministry. And they are healthcare sharing organizations where money that you, rather than sending premiums into an insurance company, the money goes straight to families so that to help them pay for their medical bills. So everyone is still responsible for their own medical bills, but once you get a bill, anything, I'm a part of Samaritan Ministries, so the way it works is any bill that's over $300, I send to the organization, and they will send that need out to individuals who will not only be aware of my need, but will send me a check to help me pay for the medical bills, will pray for me, and will send words of encouragement as well. So it really is ministry in every sense of the word, financially, emotionally, and spiritually. And So I now am able to contribute $405 a month to be able to participate in having other people across the country help me with my medical bills.
Okay, and so we want to be clear for those listening to make sure that they are aware that this is not actual health insurance.
No, it is actually, yes, it is not, yes, it is not insurance. But if you are a member of a medical sharing organization, you are exempt from the penalty of the Affordable Health Care Act so that you will not have to pay that tax penalty if you are a member.
Okay. Now, I know we have a lot of
extra benefit as well.
Sure. Thank you for sharing that. And I know we have a lot of, we have a widespread of listeners that listen to the show. What if they are not Christian?
Well, one of the things that I know about MediShare and Samaritan Ministries, they ask that you are a member of a church and that you are living a Christian lifestyle. They ask that you agree to their tenets of being a Christian. So that is what they ask that you do.
Okay. So there is there are certainly there's criteria or requirements that you must meet as well.
Great.
Thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
Like, for example, I had to get my pastor to verify that I was, you know, attending the church and living a Christian lifestyle.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you so much for sharing. And callers, we thank you so much for holding on. I'm going to try to pick up one call. That's probably about all we're going to be able to get to on this evening. We may have to hold the show over a week. Of course, I want to make sure that I can get everyone's question answered. Let's see. I'm going to try to pick up a call. Extension 8023. Hello. Hello. Okay, they could be just listening. Okay, that's not a problem. Well, thank you so much for your information, Pam. Thank you, JP. As always,
you're welcome.
You provide great information for us. I certainly do appreciate that. I see that we are still getting additional information and questions. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to cover them this evening. I will speak with the guests and see if perhaps they can come back and we can maybe continue the show. I want to say thank you again, everyone, for listening. Thank you for each Sunday spending time with us. We certainly do appreciate that. Thanks for supporting our show. Those who have called in, callers, I'm sorry I did not have an opportunity to get to you all, those who sent us messages. And, of course, thanks to our loyal listeners who tune in each week. We are so glad that you're a part of the What is Etiquette Anyway family. Remember, if you have a question or if you have a topic you'd like to hear us cover in the future, please be sure to let us know that as well. Be sure to tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen as well. After all, we are trying to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. And remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold those virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. Please initiate a random act of kindness this week. And once again, thanks for tuning in. We'll talk again next week at the same time. Good night. Take care. God bless.
Talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week when we'll discuss another exciting topic.